Let's try that. There we go. Before getting to the sermon this morning, just a couple of announcements, actually three announcements. Remember that we're talking about being good neighbors, about living out that command offered to us by Jesus to love our neighbors as ourselves in a very literal, tangible type of way. A couple ways in which we can do that is, first of all, through this education connection that is taking place. This is a partnership between local churches and local elementary schools for churches to provide volunteers to read with students who need help in the area of reading, from kindergarten to, I believe it's through fifth grade. It might be on there. Courtney Kirk is coordinating this activity for our congregation. So I'm going to have you talk to Courtney if you would like to participate in this. It's a great way to show love in our community, to go and spend time in our local elementary schools helping students out. A wonderful opportunity that we have. Our congregation is going to be working with students from the Jim Plain Elementary, which is not far from where we are right now. So, is Courtney in here right now? If so, Courtney, would you please stand for us? Thank you. All right, Courtney. Courtney is right there. Go ahead and raise your hand there. She is coordinating this important activity for us. So, if you would like to participate in this activity, volunteering 30 minutes to 1 hour each week, please talk to Courtney. We appreciate so much the work that Courtney is doing in regards to this important program. Secondly, in just about a week, we are going to have another one of our community picnics. There are flyers for this community picnic on the table out in the foyer. I would encourage you to take one or a bunch of those flyers and hand those out to people that you may know or may be working on building a relationship with, and have them come to our community picnic. It'd be free food. They can eat as many hot dogs as they want, and just have them come and mingle with our congregation. First of all, that means that our congregation is going to have to be here for this. And so show up to this. Be ready to enjoy some fellowship together. That's coming up on October 3rd, it's a Saturday, starting at 5 p.m. The third thing, there's no image for this one, but Higher Ground is coming up very soon. And I was asked by Jim Clement to announce about Higher Ground. You can get more information from that on our website. You can also just talk to Jim. And so, like with Courtney, I'm going to have Jim go ahead and stand as well. Jim, where are you? Go ahead and stand right there. Jim is the Higher Ground guy for us, along with Ezra and Terry Sue Bettis. But if you would like more information about that or want to participate in that, just go talk to Jim about that. These are all great opportunities to live out this calling to love our neighbors as ourselves. Go ahead and raise your hand if you've ever been on a mission trip. If you have ever been on a mission trip, raise your hand. All right, there are a bunch of us that have. I know some of us even recently have been over to Mexico, maybe been to Honduras. Some have been over to some African countries recently. And so a lot of us have participated in mission trips. For myself, I've been to Mexico as a college student, to Haiti, to Fort Worth on an inner city type of mission trip, been to several different places. And as you reflect on the mission trip that you maybe participated in, or as I reflect on the trips that I've been on or been blessed to participate in over the years, I have found those mission trips to shape my faith in very profound ways. Perhaps it's been the case for you as well. And so when we're thinking about mission trips, we're thinking about going somewhere. Oftentimes it's a foreign country, but maybe a domestic trip as well. Choosing a place to go in a very purposeful way, think about ways in which to share the message of Jesus with others. For some of us, that may have involved some sort of door knocking campaign, or it may have involved building some houses. For some, it may have been a medical type of trip. The purpose of the trip was to offer medical care to people in need in the name of Jesus Christ, right? There are lots of different reasons that we go on mission trips, but we understand that the main idea that undergirds a mission trip is the opportunity to share the love of Jesus with those who need that love, who need to feel and to hear, and to even participate in the message of Jesus. So these mission trips have all kinds of value for our lives. Through these, we have the opportunity to learn a new culture. Perhaps for some of us, we've even learned a new language because of a mission trip. I know of some folks that have now dedicated their lives to what we call full-time mission work because of an experience they had on a short-term trip. For a couple of them, it was that trip to Mexico that I referred to in college. That sort of planted a seed within them that now they are living out this call to be missionaries in Brazil, in Africa, in other places as well. So mission trips have this opportunity to have a profound effect on us. Now, there can be some problems with these sort of mission trips as well. For one, we can go on a mission trip. Maybe it's for a week or 2 weeks or 10 days or something like that. But we come home and we think we're done with the mission work, right? Okay, I paid my dues. I went over to Mexico. I took a shower with a shower bag, or in a river, or I had to eat this food. I don't even know, just granola bars or something like that. And so we think, well, we had our mission trip experience, and now we're done. We might even think, man, I can't wait till next year when I can go do some mission work again, right? These kind of thoughts sort of creep into our mindset. And the truth is, that these mission trips, although they have a profound impact on our lives, if our thinking is like what I just mentioned, man, I can't wait till next year so I can do some more mission work, perhaps our thinking is a little bit faulty. Let's think about our country. Let's think about the place that we live right now. Right now, there is less and less growth in Christianity, right? Less and less growth in Christianity in our world today. Years ago, 30, 40, 50 years, the gospel was changing lives at a very rapid rate. So Christianity was growing. But in this place, at this time, what we're finding is less and less growth in Christianity. Some folks are even calling the culture that we live in now a post-Christian culture. Post-Christian culture. Think about Europe. I don't know if you've been to Europe. I've never been to Europe. But what I hear about Europe are these huge church buildings in these major European cities. Huge church buildings. Who knows how much money was spent, how much energy was spent to build these buildings. And now they sit empty, even on Sunday mornings. And so they say about Europe that it's a post-Christian culture. The number of Christians in that continent is getting lower and lower, fewer and fewer all the time. It's a world that we live in. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Sixth Sense. I'm not going to give it all away, but now it's an older movie, but it's starring Bruce Willis. But in this movie, there is a very important moment where the little boy who kind of is the star of the movie, he says this, "I see dead people." This is Haley Joel Osment. He's probably 30 years old now, 25 years old. But in the movie, he says, "I see dead people." And so there's this kind of weird twist in the movie once he makes that statement. I see dead people. So you can imagine this movie, how interesting it would be. But the truth is, in our culture, all around us, At any given day, at any given spot, we see dead people. Not talking about like zombies here. But if we understand Paul's teaching in his letters correctly, what we know is he says it over and over again, those who are in Christ have life, but those who are not in Christ are living, this sounds strange, are living in death. If one is not in Christ, they are a walking dead person. That's what Paul says. They are a walking dead person. So, for those who are in our surrounding area who are not in Christ, they are a walking dead person. I see dead people, is what Haley Joel Osment said in that movie. Now, this means that there is great opportunity for the church, for those who have life in Jesus Christ. We have a privilege, an honor to live out the message of Jesus Christ, who brings life to all, who has brought life to us. The truth is that we were dead in our sins, but through the grace of God offered to us in Jesus Christ, we have life. And now we have the privilege of sharing that life with others. And so, as Christians, every day is a mission trip for us. So we share the message of Jesus Christ. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 is where we'll start. And then we'll look at the verses following that section here in just a moment. 1 Peter is writing to a group of people who would have recently come to Jesus Christ. At this time, the church is just in its infancy. People are hearing the message of Jesus for the first time, and they're giving their lives over to this message in just in a rapid, in a great way. We see this in the book of Acts. There's just an explosion of the gospel in the book of Acts. And we see some of this in 1 Peter. And look at what Peter says to this young church. He says, this is starting in verse 9, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." So we'll stop there, and here in just a moment, we'll get into verses 11 and 12. What we see here are some identity markers for those who are in Christ. Peter says about those who have come to this life in Jesus that they are a chosen people. Some of these people that he would have been writing to were Gentiles. So you'd have to imagine the beauty of hearing these words. You are now chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. The presence of God is within you and can be seen in you. You are a holy nation. You're God's special possession. These are all words about their identity in Christ, and they're loaded terms that Peter uses here. You are chosen. You are royal. You are holy. So you have words of identity. Then you have words of purpose. So that, Peter says, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That you can declare his praises. That you can share the good news of Jesus Christ with all the people that you interact with. That you can be a channel of God's blessing, God's will, God's way to the watching world. How do you do this? Read on verses 11 and 12. "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles..." Let's stop there for just a moment. Peter had just said, you are a holy people, a people that have been chosen by God. Once you weren't a people, now you are a people. Then in verse 11, he says, you are foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. So he says of these people, more identity markers. He says, you are foreigners and aliens. Your citizenship is in heaven. You have a different king. You are participating in a different kingdom. And that's us. So we're living here in Leander, Cedar Park, North Austin, but we, in truth, are living in a foreign country. We are strangers here. So have you ever been to a foreign country? We go to these different places. We experience a different culture. We have to eat different kinds of food. We're interacting with people who speak a different language than us. You've probably heard the phrase before. I know I have spoken it. You can spot a tourist from a mile away. You can spot a tourist from a mile away. Maybe it's the camera. Maybe it's the way in which they're interacting with others. Perhaps it's the language that they're speaking. You can spot a tourist, a foreigner, from a mile away. So I've been to the DMV a few times, and I'm sure you have as well. You go to a DMV, and they give you, when you move to a different place, they're going to give you a new driver's license, right? The driver's license is going to have your address. It's going to have a picture of you. It's going to have some details about your life. It's a way in which can be indicated in an easy way where you live, the state in which you live in. Here's the truth of the matter. For Christians, when we are baptized into Jesus Christ, we are given a new identity card. And the identity card at the address mark says that our address is heaven. It's the kingdom of God. That's our homeland. And perhaps the picture is of a new person in Jesus Christ. I don't know what that would look like, but maybe it looks like Jesus. So Peter says that you are a holy nation, you're a royal priesthood, but then he says you are foreigners and exiles in this place. And as you live into this identity, you will abstain from sinful desires. You will declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And as you do this, others will see your good deeds. See the kind of life that you are living. See that your identity is different than others, and they will glorify God on the day he visits us. They will be so impacted that they will submit their lives to Jesus. So Sarah and I have friends in Brazil, and I was talking to him about his work down there. Obviously, he is a foreigner in that place. I said, man, that's got to be so hard. How do you keep at it day after day in a new culture, different language? Everything is different. And what he said actually surprised me. He said, it's easier down here. It's easier for us down here. And so I said, well, why? And he said, because every day that we wake up, it is so clear to us what our purpose and mission is down here. We know what we're supposed to do. We know what we're called to do. So each day they're sharing the love of Jesus in tangible and powerful ways in Niterói, Brazil. The world doesn't operate completely in the way that God desires. It's broken, sinful, and hurting. But one of the ways in which God brings healing and hope and restoration to this broken and sinful world is through His holy people who live here as exiles and foreigners. You can spot a tourist from a mile away. Can you spot a Christian from a mile away? It's a different kingdom. It's a different king. It's a different way of life. So I ask the question as we close out this series on the art of neighboring. If Jesus moved in your neighborhood, what would He do? If Jesus moved in your neighborhood, what would He do? So you might be thinking, well, that's not a fair question in all of this. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. 1 John 2, 3 through 6. We know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commands. Whoever says, I know Him, but does not do what He commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys His word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must live as Jesus did. If Jesus moved into your neighborhood, what would He do? And then the follow-up question is, based on your response to that question, what should you do? How should you live? How should you respond? Those, according to John, those who are in Jesus are to live as Jesus did. And the older versions put it this way, we are to walk as Jesus walked. To walk as Jesus walked. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. This is just one of those passages that kind of makes you shudder a little bit. Galatians 2, 19 and 20. For through the law I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So our speech and our action, the way that we interact with others is primarily, and this is very important, is primarily about who Jesus is and of what He is doing in us and through us. It's about His action in us. So we talk about, in all this series, some of you may be hearing me saying things like, do more, be more, 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 more. I hope that's not how any of this is coming across. I don't mean for it to come across that way. I want to take us back to what Paul says in Galatians chapter 2. When we're talking about loving our neighbors as ourselves, we are talking about dying to ourselves so that Jesus Christ can live through us. This is about God's work through His faithful servants. So what would Jesus do if He moved into your neighborhood? He already has. It's through His faithful people who are submitting to Him and living in Him. Great privilege, great opportunity. So this art of neighboring, it's really about approaching every day, every minute, as if it's a mission trip. We've been called to go to a foreign land. It's called Leander. It's called Cedar Park. It's called North Austin. We are foreigners and exiles. You can spot a tourist from a mile away. In a mission trip, as my friend who lives in Brazil said, every day he wakes up, he knows his mission. He knows his purpose. He knows why he is there. Do you know why you are here? I want to share the story of Taria Pitt. I came across this a couple of weeks ago. It's a very powerful story. In 2011, She was involved in a ultra marathon in Australia. Why anyone would do a marathon, I don't know. Why anyone would do an ultra marathon, I really don't have a clue. But this lady, Taria Pitt, was running an ultra marathon. And by ultra marathon, it means it's oftentimes over 30 miles, and it takes you in different forms of terrain as you go through it. So sometimes you're on a road, sometimes you're on hiking trails, things like that. So she had decided to do this in 2011. On the way, she got caught in a brush fire, and over 65% of her body was burned. And so in the one picture here on this side, you can see her before the 2011 fire. And then in the second picture, you can see here post that fire. Many thought that she would never survive this accident that she experienced. I don't know if you can tell there in the picture, but she looks drastically different in the two pictures. As I was watching an interview with her, something that she said really struck me. She said, "So often people say to me, 'You're so amazing. I couldn't do what you are doing.' Here's what I think. No one knows how strong they really are. Our lives are so safe. We get up, get dressed, go to work, play on the computer, go home, watch TV. There seems to be little in our life that causes us to rise to the challenge or rise above. People may have the strength, but they're never challenged." See the art of neighboring as a challenge. Who are you going to meet? Who are you going to seek to build a bridge to so that you can share the love of Jesus with them? What are you going to do? What will you say to them? Our hope, my hope, is that every person in Leander or Cedar Park would come to know Jesus. Is that a good bet? That everybody would come to know Jesus. Not just those that have an address like mine, a street address like mine, but everybody would come to know Jesus. That our neighborhoods would flourish. That people would seek the guidance and wisdom from God. So these black maps that we have passed out, these are a tool to see that vision play out. That all people would come to know Jesus. If you have lost your block map or haven't gotten one yet, again, on that table in the foyer, you can pick one of those up. Please spend time with that block map. Here's a picture of what it looks like. And pray for those who live around you. Ask God to open doors of opportunity for you to build a relationship with them so that you can share the love of Jesus. One thing that I've seen done over the years that I think is really, really cool and really powerful is when missionaries are going out to the mission field, some folks will pray over them. It's a very, very clear and tangible sign of support, love, and care for those missionaries who are going to a different place. Today is a mission trip. Tomorrow is a mission trip. We're all missionaries in a foreign land seeking to share the good news of Jesus to those who need to hear that message. So I'm going to pray over all of us today as we're on a mission trip. Father, we are so thankful that you have called us into relationship with you through the love, mercy, and grace that you offer us in just beautiful and profound love. Father, we recognize that without you, we are nothing. We thank you, Father, that you have chosen us to be a royal priesthood, to be a holy nation, to be your special possession. And Father, with that identity in mind, it's our prayer that we can live out our purpose of declaring your praises to the world. We pray that we can live such good lives around those who don't know you, that they will see in us something that they desire. Father, we pray that you will open doors for us to share your message with others. We pray that you will give us the courage and the strength to be willing to step through those doors to build relationships with others. Father, we're thankful that you have called us into mission work as a community and not alone. Help us to draw strength from one another. Help us to encourage one another as we take on this challenge to be your missionaries in this place. Father, it's our hope that everyone in Leander and Cedar Park and other places, that everybody will come to know you. Father, in our weaknesses, in our pain, in our frailty, we pray that you will use us in powerful ways. We know, Father, that we cannot do this alone, but help us to take advantage of the opportunities that you do present to us every day. Father, we're so thankful for Jesus Christ. We recognize that our hope and salvation comes through him. We pray this all in his name. Amen. Life is a mission trip. You can spot a tourist from a mile away. If there's anybody here today that needs the prayers of the assembly, we would be glad to pray with you in whatever is going on in your life. Again, we are not in this alone. We are together in this journey. So if you need prayers, let us know and we'll pray with you for you. If there's anybody here today that is ready to give your life over to Jesus Christ, to discover that new identity that comes to us through the grace of God, if you're ready to be baptized, whatever the need, you can come forward now as we stand and we continue to worship our Creator. Let's sing.